Powered by Riverside.
And welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is Volume 2, Episode Number 32. I am your host, C. Willie. The air date for this show is Thursday, October 10th, 2024. Joined again this evening by the lovely and talented
Butter Pig.
She still hasn't kicked me out of the house, so we're doing all right there. And we are really excited about our guest tonight. His sound is described as blues, soul, and rock and roll, and he plays an amazing show, some incredible music we're going to hear tonight. Welcome to the show, Joe James.
Hey, thank you guys for having me.
Well, this is we've been looking forward to this for quite a little while here. We spend a lot of time on the big screens that we've got down here watching videos, the performers that we've got on, and we have really enjoyed what we've seen from you and your band, and just an inherently positive songs and songwriting.
Oh, well, thank you guys. Appreciate that.
How'd you all, you know, I know we've read back 8 years old, you started playing and in the church, and I know the church has a big influence on your writing now. Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about your background and how it all came about.
Sure. So my dad is a musician. He's a bass player. As a young kid, I always, you know, watching him, he was inspired me in all the bands he played with. And he's a bass player and a preacher as well. So he's a bass playing preacher. But I would watch him and, you know, I would get extremely influenced by all the people that he had in and out of the rehearsals and you know, on the stage at church. And also he was a huge Beatles fan. He is a huge Beatles fan. And so that was, that had an impact on me, as a kid. And I remember watching, the Beatles anthology and them having, you know, their last concert on the rooftop, and they're playing Don't Let Me Down. And I remember at the age of 7 or 8, I was like, that's what I want to do for forever, you know? And so that was kind of like the moment where it all clicked, where I was like, that I'm going to play music, you know, for the rest of my life.
Does your dad still play?
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, I mean, he stopped playing for a little while and he's just fully in ministry, but he moved to Texas from California to Texas. And now he's playing in a bunch of bands all around Texas. So it's kind of cool.
That's fantastic. Now, this is interesting. You talk about loving the Beatles and kind of the influence they've had, which they've influenced a number of performers. Where did the blues come from? I listened to you play the guitar, and I just absolutely love it.
Sure. I mean, for me, I think you can learn anything, right? Where you can learn to play or sing or do anything in life. But I feel like the thing that makes the most impact is when people actually live that life, you know. And we grew up in a poor neighborhood, and my brother was in gangs for the majority of my childhood. And even though we went to church and we had that hope and that faith, we still, you know, had a bit of a rough upbringing because of the environment we were in. So I think it kind of stems from that type of energy, you know, from that, all of that pent up inside of me, it kind of comes out. So, I mean, I didn't really set out to play the blues. I actually was playing, like, you know, heavy metal when I was younger, when I was a teenager. I was like rebelling and playing like heavy metal stuff. But I was very influenced by a number of things. My dad, of course, loved like worship music, but he also loved rock and roll and Led Zeppelin and all of these things, and Hendrix and the Beatles and the Stones. And my mom really leaned more towards Motown and you know, and soul and funk and oldies. And so I kind of got the best of both worlds. And I think musically, that you hear the influence of, like, you know, rock and roll, but also the funk Motown stuff as well.
You do. It does come out. It's very apparent in the variety of sounds that we hear from you. Talk me through a little bit, though, about the messaging in your songs, because, you know, there's a line that I really kind of gravitated to in the things that we were reading about you, saying that, hey, your music can truly heal a broken heart.
Yeah. So, I mean, a few years ago, I'll kind of, in a nutshell, talk about my musical career. So I obviously 8 years old, started learning to play bass, got it super inspired. And then I went on to play drums because I was, you know, I was going into my teen years and I just wanted to hit things. And then I started playing guitar, and that's where I realized I can write songs, you know? My whole identity was music for the longest time. I went to school and for music, I went to Musicians Institute in Hollywood, California. And I was just going to be a side guy, but I ended up being, you know, finding my voice as a singer there as well. But on the bottom of all of that was a lot of like hurt and pain and a lot of things that I never dealt with, but music always, I went to music and kind of shoved everything in the closet or under a rug, you know? And so I had a lot of things that I needed to deal with, but I didn't. And I just focused on my career and was very driven in that and should have probably went to like therapy or figured, you know, something out, but I didn't. But that's all part of the story, thankfully.
Yeah.
But I ended up walking away from church and from God and from everything for the longest time, my wife and I, fully dedicated myself to music and just immersed myself in that whole world, which we all know is a beautiful world, but it also could be a very dangerous world as well. And so I got caught up in a lot of that stuff and never dealt with a lot of childhood trauma that was caused by, you know, sexual abuse while I was younger, the church even, you know, and a lot of things. And so a couple of years back, I had this kind of mental breakdown from not dealing with a lot of those things. And I went into this deep depression that I could just not get out of, you know? And I remember because I'm a bit of an achiever. So I was trying to achieve not having, you know, this feeling or trying to achieve this darkness to go away. And the only thing, that truly helped me. And it was the one, it was my last resort. And it was the one thing I tried not to go to because of past trauma and growing up in the church. And I didn't want anything to do with it. And I was like, I'm not going back there. But not just necessarily the church, but God himself is the thing that the person I cried out to in the middle of all of that. And months went by and nothing was happening. And that was the thing that completely changed my life. I was on a trail with my dog and we were on a walk. And I remember I had all these suicidal thoughts and I was just completely, you know, hopeless. And I cried out, God, if you are who you say you are, help me. And about 30, 40 minutes go by, nothing happens. And then I hear this still small voice say, I'm here. And from that moment, I was like, okay, I'm gonna dedicate my life and my music and my everything to you. And so that's what I do. And I don't play for God, but I play because of God. And so there's a big difference. I'm not playing, you know, because if you listen to my music, it's not CCM Christian contemporary music. Right. It's like, but I play, because of, you know, and so the music and my writing process and those type of lyrics are because of that moment that completely saved my life, that I wouldn't be the album Found My Way with all of these songs would not be here because I would not be here.
Yeah. What a story.
Thanks, man. I mean,
it's the perseverance that you need too.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, exactly.
Well, the first one that we've got queued up in that vein is Down to the River. Tell us a little bit about the background behind Down to the River.
Sure. I want that was kind of one of the first songs I wrote, and I didn't want to write in the vein of like a CCM kind of like airy type of, you know, song. I'm like, I want to write something a little funky. And I remember one of my friends, when I came back to God, I was like, should I give up music? Is this right for me to play music like this? Was God going to get mad at me? You know, or whatever the case may be. Cause you get that sometimes in some churches.
And a certain genre. It's got to be.
Right. And so I'm like, should I play like just worship music? And he's like, no, you should be you in Christ. Like you should be who you are. And I was like, oh, I can do that. I can write like that. He's like, yes, you can write like that. So that was the first song. And that song, obviously the symbolism of water and it washing away all of the past stuff, you know? And so that's what Down to the River is essentially about. And it's not a song specifically talking to somebody, but I'm kind of writing as I'm in third person, like I'm talking to myself, like to come on down to the river and let the water just completely wash all of that stuff away.
This is why we love doing this. Oh, we got the backstory for the song, and what more meaning does that have?
Yeah,
your story and how this all.
All right, let's give this one a listen. Joe James, Down to the River.
Baby, what you got yourself into? Well, it don't look good to me. And every turn is against you. Say, baby, won't you come and see? Yeah.
So come on down to the river, baby. Let the water soothe your soul. So come on down to the river, baby. And let the water soothe your soul. Yeah. When the whole wide world is against you, and you don't know what to do, and your heart is filled with desire, yeah, well, to find you something new, yeah. So come on down to the river, baby, and let the water soothe your soul. Head and lay your burdens down. Nothing can come against you. Go ahead and do what you're meant to. Won't you wear your starry crown? Go ahead and lay your burdens down. Nothing can come against you. Go ahead and do what you're meant to.
Yes, sir. Down to the River. That's Joe James. And God can't be upset with you for playing like that.
and there's some gospel elements in there as well. So
there really is. You can hear it. Yeah.
We got some gospel changes in there with musically. So
No question. The keyboard's playing there. I was here in the church.
Oh, man, that's my buddy John Dees on keys. He
All right.
used to play with Gary Clark Jr. He plays with everybody. He's fantastic, man.
Well, it's a wonderful song, even better knowing the meaning behind it now and how that affected you and how that certainly can affect so many others. And it's that.
Yeah, it's weird, to be honest with you, hear it like listening to the song, because we record it, listen to it a bunch of times to, you know, make sure get the mixes right. Then we send it off for mixing and mastering. And then I never listen to it again. Like, yeah. It's, until I play it. I play it live and it's kind of different every night. But like, I haven't listened to the recording since I sent it off. And, you know.
Oh, that's interesting. Mastering. Is it that way with all of your songs?
Yeah, yeah. Because the process of writing it could either be really easy or strenuous. That one was really easy. But then you get in and you start recording it. And then you spend so much time with the song. And then when you're mixing the song, you know, or sending it to be mixed, and you're listening to it 5 million times, you send it back and here's all the notes for that and change that, turn the vocals up here, make sure the keyboards are and then you do that for, you know, a couple weeks to a month, and then you finally get it right, and then you send it off to mastering, and then they send it back and you listen to it once more and you're like, perfect. And you put it to go out to all the streaming platforms, yeah. And then you're like, I'm done with it.
Now let's put it away.
Exactly, yeah.
Well, that I would imagine, and not listening to that over and over again, then your live performances are probably an interpretation of that song or any of the songs, sure, that you're playing every time you're up there.
They change. They actually really, I mean, not to the point where they're unrecognizable, but we've changed a lot of the songs to fit a live setting. You know, they're more energetic. There's cool changes. We extend the solo. There's parts in there. So like coming and seeing me and my band live is completely different animal than listening to the record.
Yeah.
And cool segue that will be, we just recorded a live album at Purple Bee, and with all of those changes and those transitions and the cool parts and the big show that we have. And we're releasing that sometime next year, middle of next
fantastic.
Year.
Fantastic. You're going to have to let us know when that comes about. But...
No, I will. I'll definitely let you guys know for sure.
Yeah.
Well, you talk a little bit about the production process and what you do with the song after it's ready. What's your writing process like? You know, you said, okay, Down to the River wasn't very difficult to write. There are others that are difficult. And I know in talking to other artists that it can be a 15-minute process. It can be a 15-year process. Is it similar for you with some of your songs?
It varies. The process in general, not the time length, but like sometimes, again, it could be I'll write it in, you know, a couple minutes and like, oh my gosh, thank you. Like it just fell out of the sky. And other times there's still songs that I have that I've had for 10 years that I just cannot get right, you know? But the process is always different. I know some people might start with, some poems and they turn those into vocal melodies, which turns into a song somehow. I know Stevie Nicks like does stuff like that, you know? Mm-hmm. But for me, it's kind of, it really does vary. So I'll sometimes have the vocal melody in my head, then I grab a guitar and try to, you know, put some chords over it, and then come the lyrics, or I'll hear something or read something or see something and I'll jot down, you know, some lyrics and then build it up from that. Or we'll just be jamming in a sound check and I'm like, that's a cool jam, you know, and then I'll write to that. So there's so many different, and I think that's, for me, that's what keeps it so exciting, is it never feels like work, which I do write for other artists, and we get in writing rooms and it's a formula and we do it this way every time. That sometimes feels like work, but other times, depending on the artist, it doesn't. But for me personally, I like it to be more spontaneous, you know, like I want to get inspired somewhere instead of like, all right, here's my 9-to-5. I'm going to go in, I'm going to write down some words and I'm going to build a thing. I just would rather, even if I have a couple days or a week that I don't write anything because I wasn't inspired, I'm fine with that. Cause I don't want, I want it to come from somewhere. I want it to be, you know, inspirational, for me and for the listeners who are going to listen to it. I always, going back to the Beatles, they were my school for songwriting. So watching their anthology is it was always different, and they would just get in the room. Someone would be on a piano or someone would be on guitar. I'd be on a bass riff or, you know, Paul would be, you know, trying to pull out, get back and nothing was happening. And it was like all these different configurations of the song. And then next thing you know, it's the song we all know and love, Get Back. But it took them, you know, 10 days or a month to get it.
It's real at that point. It's not manufactured. When you talk about, okay, 9 to 5, we're going to go in, we're going to kick out 3 songs today. That's manufactured music. That's totally.
And I personally don't like to work that way, but I also sometimes have to, all the time have to pay the bills. So I got to go do that stuff. But I would rather it be that way because it just feels, more organic to let something inspire you, whether it be a human being, who your muse, like my wife, like she inspires me, who she is as a person and you know, her beauty, not only outside, but inside, she's just a beautiful person. And so she inspires me with things she says or does or her looks or the sun's hitting her the right way or a groove, that I hear and I'm like, oh my gosh, this is making me feel, like funny inside. This is great. Let's write something. Let's build something around this song. Or I watch a movie or I read a book. So I like it to come out that way rather than like, here's a formula and we're just going to go in and kick out 5 songs today. Like that sounds like work.
You can tell when we're listening to your music that it's real, that it's not, okay, we got to write a top 40 song today. It's you get the feels from what your music does.
Good. Yeah. And so do I. And that's why it comes out that way is because I'm just being, and everyone I surround myself with are just being authentic, and we love what we're doing. We're like, this could go to number one. This could get 1,000 streams, 10,000, 1,000,000 streams. We don't care. We're just like, we're creating because we love to create.
Yeah.
And so that's the way I love to operate. It's just for the sheer, joy of creation.
Absolutely. Well, the next one we've got queued up right now, Everything You've Done For Me. Tell us a little bit about that.
That one, this song, we're going to start bringing back into the set. We used to, we'd have a, have you guys been out to a show?
Not yet. We're stuck up here in Michigan, so we've got to get our tails down to Texas.
We'll come there.
Oh, we'd love to have you up here.
Yes, that would be awesome.
So we usually do this this part of the show where we strip everything down because we're pretty rocking. Like if you ever been to a black gospel church, like where just like there's a lot of energy, that's kind of our shows, mm-hmm. So, but then there's a moment where I would sit down at the piano and play this specific song. But it's kind of a beautiful and difficult song for me because this song in the midst of the darkness, but this is after I come back to my relationship with God and I started to really, spiritually be filled, mm-hmm. But I was still being transformed and molded into the person that I am today. But I was still in that dark place. But I had this hope that I was holding on to. And I also had a heart full of gratitude. Like I had a lot of gratitude that I didn't have before. And so when I went to write this song, I was still hurting from past stuff that all came up and I had to deal with. And I'm going to therapy now every single day at this point, and I'm pulling all of this stuff out. But I was hurting and I was in a lot of pain mentally. But I still had this like immense amount of gratitude, which was mind boggling to me. So I sat down at the piano, and this was the first song, like ballad, that I wrote. And I've written a bunch of them, but this was like, since I had that kind of breakdown, this was the first song that I sat down and like really started to write. Yeah. And it was a song about being thankful. And it was about a song that I had gratitude even in the middle of this, you know, this storm, and even in the middle of this dark valley, I was still able to have this peace that surpassed all understanding. And I was like, what is this? Why am I just a couple months ago, I wanted to end my life, but now here I am, thankful for every little thing in my life, my wife, my music, my friends, the trees, my dogs, like,
yeah.
And now I have this, and like, and it's only, and again, going back to that, I do it because, and it was like, it's only because of this.
Yeah.
So I sat down and wrote this song of gratitude, you know, and that's where everything you've done for me came from.
All right. Well, let's give this one a listen. Joe James, Everything You've Done For Me.
Going through a storm, I keep my eyes on you. When the darkness comes, I know you'll pull me through. Because you're faithful, because you're able, and your peace it shines upon me like the sun. What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. You stood at my door till I let you in. You took my brokenness and you made me whole again. And I'm so thankful because I'm able, and your peace it shines upon me like the sun. And what would I do without you? Where would I be without you? What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? Oh, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Everything you've done for me, I'll give it all to you. I'll give it all to you. I'll give it all. I'll give it all to you. What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? What would I do without you? Where would I be without you? Oh, and I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. Yeah, I thank you, Lord. Oh, I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for everything you've done for me. Everything you've done for me. Everything you've done for me, Jesus. Everything you've done for me.
That's so beautiful.
It is. That's a powerful song, Joe. It really
is. You got to take a moment after that song, huh?
You do. It's simple, but it is so deep.
Yeah, it's one of my favorite songs. We're going to bring it back. It was just hard to sing for a little while. But a little behind the scenes of that song, when we were recording it, we were at the end of our first session. And we recorded, you know, most of the songs you hear on that album. And we were all tired. And I'm like, all right, I'm ready to go home. We'll finish it off tomorrow. And my buddy who's producing the album was like, why don't we do one of your solo songs? Like, we have the grand piano all mic'd up. We recorded at the Cedar Creek Studios here in Austin, Texas. And he was like, and it's a cool old studio, and you can tell it's been lived in. It has a lot of stories, and they had this cool big grand piano in there. And it was all mic'd up, and he was like, hey, it's mic'd up. Why don't we just do one more? And I was like, fine. Okay, cool. So I go behind the piano, and he tells me, because he's heard the song before, because we demoed it, you know, and he goes, go back to the place that you were when you wrote the song. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh man, like, really? You want me to go back to that place? Yeah. And he goes, no, yeah, just go back there. And so I took a deep breath and I said a prayer and I just started the song. And I'm not kidding you, I start the song and I don't remember playing any of the song. I just remember hitting that last note and like opening my eyes and everyone in the control room being like, that was the take. And of course in the studio, the thing is like, you want to do one more for safety? Like, and everyone was like, you're not going to be able to do another one like that. Like that's the one.
That was
the very first take of that song and take of that song. And when we were coming up with an order for the album Found My Way, we were trying to place that one maybe in the middle or maybe, you know, and it just would not fit anywhere but the very end of the album because nothing was able to follow that emotion, you know?
Yeah.
So, well, yeah, what a beautiful song.
I can tell that. That's a great story, too.
Yeah.
So you...
It's on my playlist.
Good. Thank you.
You're a very busy man. The band's been out and about. You've got several things coming up. Tell us a little bit about where we can find you, where we can find out where you're going to be performing so we can get out in there and see you.
Yeah, so the best way to find out what I'm doing is usually my website, which is joejamesmusic.com. That's Joe without the E, J-O-J-A-M-E-S, music.com. But we're very active on social media too. So Facebook, Instagram, you know, you can find out where we're going to be. But we got a lot of cool stuff coming up. We have Yulin Fest, which we're going to be at the end of October. And we have Music on Main, which is in Round Rock, Texas. And it's this cool outdoor venue, and a bunch of people come and to listen to music. And it's just a really rad, rad festival that they put on. And then we have some things that we haven't announced yet, but I'll announce it here.
All right.
But we're going to be on December 7th at the Paramount Theater here in Austin, Texas. We're opening for, Mark Broussard.
What?
Yeah. So that's going to be fun.
Fantastic.
So you're actually, on October 24th. You're going to be in Austin for a show, and I checked it out. That's actually Quarter Peep's birthday, so just let you know.
Okay, cool.
She'll be celebrating with you.
Another fun fact is I grew up in Austin as a child.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so I was so excited. Like this guy's got – he has to be on our show. I'm the one that said, hey, this guy's got to be here.
Sweet. Thank you.
And there was like, it's just crazy. You know, I'm like, I grew up in Austin, so I get the culture. I get the soulfulness. I hear the blues. And that's Austin, Texas. So I'm just, yeah. I'm lit up.
That's awesome. Thank you.
Yeah. So, yeah. But definitely, if you guys are in Austin on October 24th, definitely to check out this guy's show. So maybe I'll show up. We'll find out.
Stranger things have happened.
That'd be awesome.
So the last one that we've got queued up, Joe, is Beautiful Soul. Tell us a little bit about Beautiful Soul.
This song I love. We end the set with this song and then encore with Down to the River. But this one's a crowd favorite, man. Like, everyone loves this song so much. And so do I. But this song is about that somebody in your life, or somebody's, like multiple people that are those, those guiding lights through this crazy, life journey that we all are on. And there are these beautiful souls that you can call up anytime, that you can, talk to. And my wife is one of those, and I have a couple of other friends that are those to me, and I'm sure everyone can relate that they have that person or those people,
Yeah.
And so I wanted to write a song kind of, a tip of the hat to people like that, that are these beautiful souls that are shining bright, for those who are, in times of need. And yeah, so that's what this Beautiful Soul song is about.
All right. So we'll all be thinking about our own beautiful soul, who that person is, or those people are to us as we're listening to this one. Joe James with Beautiful Soul.
Thank you.
Joe James, beautiful soul. And for everybody that's fortunate enough to have one, that's the theme song for it right there. That's
yeah.
Love that song. Great tune.
A little behind the scenes of that song, at the end of it where we say, where I'm like, you're a good thing, you know?
Yeah, you're a good thing, yeah.
I actually had a song that was going to be on the album called Good Thing.
All right.
It's taken from the verse, like, when you find a wife, you find a good thing, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I that one somehow got like X'd out of the
well, it's still partially there.
So it's still, I was like, I'm going to sneak it in somewhere. That,
there you go.
So I put it right at the end of it.
Hey, man, thanks so much for sharing tonight. There's some
thank you, guys.
Amazing stories, some amazing background. And my hope is that there's somebody out there that hears this and is inspired by your story. You know, you certainly see, here we go again, goosebumps. I mean, you've said some really important things, and your music is very important as well.
Well, thank you, guys.
Yeah, we appreciate you coming on.
I appreciate you. Let's do it again when the live album comes out.
I think we should definitely do that. Yeah, all right, Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up?
Yes, we have Brad Stewart.
All right, looking forward to that one. Brad's a real good guy. It's going to be a lot of fun talking with him. I want to thank one more time our special guest tonight, Joe James. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, guys.
And I think that's going to do it for tonight's show. Thank you all for listening. And keep in mind that you can always follow us on your favorite podcast platforms. We're on almost all of them now. And you get the video version, too. If you look us up on YouTube, the Vehicle City Sound channel is out there. We want you to like us and follow us on Facebook and communicate with us. Let us know more of the folks like Joe James that we can get on this show. Drop us an email, vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. Thanks again to Joe James. Thanks again for all of you for being with us. Be good.